Can we turn in our Bibles to the book of Proverbs chapter 10? And we're going to read from verse 1 of Proverbs chapter 10. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth them from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labour of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver, the heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord it maketh rich, and addeth no sorrow with it. It is a sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. As the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more. The righteous is an everlasting foundation. As vinegar to the teeth, and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to our hearts. Let's just unite in a word of prayer. Our gracious and our loving God, we come to thee in our Saviour's name afresh. We'd ask thee that thou wouldst bless us. We come at the end of our meeting now and pray that thou wouldst pour out thy spirit upon us, and our God, that thou wouldst keep our lips from sin and make them into instruments of righteousness for thyself. Be with us, our God, for it's in Jesus' precious name and we ask these things. Amen. When we come to chapter 10 of the book of Proverbs, there's a change in the structure of the book. From now on, what we have is not narrative. Up until now, we have had something of a narrative and something we can follow. But it is not narrative. It's not sort of one verse following on from another here. But it's a collection of individual sayings, wise sayings that were given to Solomon under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And from chapter 10 right through to about chapter 25, we have really a list of sayings that don't follow one after the other. It's just saying proverb after proverb after proverb. So we have to take a different approach now that we come to chapter 10. And what I want to do is, for a couple of weeks, is to look at a number of the themes of these individual proverbs of Solomon. Now when we come to chapter 10, I think that probably if you've been following the reading, you'll see that there's a large emphasis upon the tongue and upon the mouth. You see proverb after proverb speaking about the lips, about the tongue, about the mouth, and so on and so forth. Look at verse 11 of chapter 10. It says, "The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked." And then you go on down from verse 13, verse 14, and so on. So many things to say about the tongue and about the mouth. I'm sure you've heard the story about the old lady who came to the Puritan minister, the old venerable Puritan minister, and she was annoyed about the length of his clerical bands that he was wearing. And she went to the minister, she said, "You know, your bands offend me." He said, "What's wrong?" She says, "They're too long. Can I fix them?" And so he, in graciousness, told her that she could do what she wanted. He says, I don't want to offend you in any way. So she took a pair of scissors and she cut the bands to the required length that kept her happy. And then she set the scissors down. And the old minister said to her, "Well," he says, "there is something that offends me about you." He says, "One good turn deserves another." He says, "There's something you have too long." He says, I want to shorten it." And so she hand him the scissors. And the old minister says to her, "Stick out your tongue." And you know, that's, we all know people whose maybe their tongue is too long. And at the same time, the tongue can be an instrument of blessing. You know, we can think of people that have encouraged us. People that have helped us. People that have just said that wee word in season to us and helped us along the way of life. So the tongue is an instrument, a tool that brings a message. It can be a message of blessing, or it can be a message that brings hardship and sadness to the heart. And I want us to think about the tongue here in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 15 verse 2 says, "The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness." And we think of what it says in James chapter 3 and verse 6. "The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." So this is something that we need to consider. Throughout the Word of God, there's much to be said about the tongue. And I want us just to think about what it says in the book of Proverbs. And the first thing I want you to see is that the tongue has the power to direct. The tongue has the power to bring real blessing. It can be used as a means of encouragement. It can be used as a means of help, of saying a wee word in season. And it can be a blessing to people along the path of life. And it would be a wonderful thing if our tongues were used as that instrument of blessing. Now I want us to think about some of the ways that the tongue can be used to direct and be a blessing that we have for us in the book of Proverbs. Turn just a look there, Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 31. And the first way in which the tongue can be used as an instrument of blessing is wise counsel. It can be used to give sound advice. Now look at verse 31 there. It says, "The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out." Now, it says there that the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. If you were to turn over to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 7, it says there that the lips of the wise disperse knowledge. So there you have the wise tongue, wise counsel. Now, we can all think of times when we've been in trouble in our lives. There are so many decisions that we need to make along the path of life. And sometimes we're overwhelmed and exasperated as we try to work out the way that we should go, and there are two paths maybe that lie in front of us, and we're not just sure what way to go, and sometimes we just wish that the Lord would open up the way for us in such clarity. But you know, sometimes God just sends along some person as a means of giving us that direction. Some friend that we have. Even the wise King Solomon felt his need of wise counsel at times. In Proverbs 27 and verse 9, he says, "Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel." Sometimes we're reluctant to give advice. Sometimes we're reluctant to say, and especially in these days of litigation, we are afraid to give that counsel and give that advice. But you know, it's a thing of friendship. It's a thing of blessing to give that hearty counsel. Again, in Proverbs 15 and 22, "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established." Now, when you don't know, ask somebody. Brother Charlie and I were at a meeting there last Wednesday, and we were just thinking about different aspects of the ministry. And our brother that was there just said, you know, what you need to do is, if you don't know, ask somebody. Ask counsel. Don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to look for that counsel, for that advice. And just go to somebody that's wise, particularly somebody that knows the Scriptures, somebody that knows the Word of God, and ask. So often we're afraid to ask. So often we try to work it out on our own and try to get our way through by ourselves. But ask counsel. It says, by a multitude of counselors, things are established. So that's a good word of advice for you from the book of Proverbs. Ask for counsel from somebody that knows. So that's one way that our lips can be used for blessing and to direct. For counsel. The second way that our lips can be used as a blessing is for correction. Now turn over to Proverbs chapter 27 and look at verse 6. Proverbs 27 and verse 6 says this: "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." And by that means the word of reproof. And sometimes when we're given that word of reproof, it offends our dignity. Maybe sometimes we're not humble enough to take the word of reproof, to take a little criticism, to take that word of advice that says we're going in the wrong way. But you know, if your friend has done that to you and given you that advice, they've done that because they love you. Now, it's one of the hardest things that a person can do is to go to a friend, a family member, a loved one, and to reprove them, to give that little word of advice, that word of help, to go for a minister, to go to somebody in the congregation and say, you know, brother, sister, you're going the wrong way. We're very afraid that people will take the huff and go away and stomp out and do something like that. It's one of the hardest things to do. But you know, the person that has done that is more loving to you than the person that says nothing. You know, if you are going in the wrong way, and somebody that is your friend stands back and says nothing, and just lets you on and is afraid of the reaction, that's not being a friend to you. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. And we should take it as a friendship. We should take it in, and we should heed what is being said. And perhaps that person is anguished over what they've had to say. They have prayed over it and they have agonized over it. Oh, if there's that little word of rebuke, take the word of rebuke. Take it in. Think about it. Don't storm off. Just don't flare up in anger, but take the word. Because faithful are the wounds of a friend. So there is the word of counsel, and there's a word of correction. There's a third way that we can use our tongues, and that's words of compassion or words of encouragement. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 16 and look at verse 24. It says, "Pleasant words are as an honeycomb sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Now, isn't that something? Physical health, physical well-being can come from encouragement. You know, our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made, and when you're down, when you're depressed, and when you're in stress, and when things aren't going well, my, how that tells in the body and begins to wear out and begins to have an effect physically. But that word of encouragement, that's that person that comes along and says, well done, I can lift you. That person that says, we're praying for you. My, that can be a help in the midst of the circumstance and in the times of need. And I can think of people, you know, when I went into, or just before I went into the ministry, I remember going and preaching in churches. I don't know how the people listened to me at all. It must have been woeful. But, you know, there were people that came along nevertheless and they said, well done. That's good. It's good to hear you. Good to hear what you have to say. And, you know, that word of encouragement lifts you. And we should encourage the young people in particular, but encourage us all. Don't be afraid to go and give that wee word of sympathy, that wee word of understanding, that wee word that lifts you up and helps you along the way. Maybe you can think of somebody that impacted upon your life. And couldn't you do the same for somebody else? Or just when you were in need, some dark day that you were going through, and somebody said a wee word of advice, a wee word of encouragement, a wee word that helped you along the way. We should do that to one another. So our words can be a power to direct, a power to delight. And maybe we can use our words like that in these days. But not only have our words a power to delight and to direct, but they have a power to destroy. And this is the other side of the coin, because just as the tongue can be used to bless, it can be used to curse. Now, Matthew 12, verse 36, the Lord says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. And we need to remember that our words are being recorded. They are being written down. And every idle word that we speak is being recorded in heaven itself. You know, there's an old saying, there used to be a poster in the wartime warning about spies, really, that might have been lurking and hearing what you said, was a poster that said, loose lips sink ships. And they just meant by that, you just need to watch what you're saying. You just need to watch what words you are using. And we read how James says the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. And how, like a fire spreading, you know, the effects of the tongue, they can go out like circles when you throw the stone into the water. It can spread out so rapidly. Wednesday the 5th of September 1666, a fire broke out in a baker's shop, the shop, the bakery of Thomas Farriner, in Pudding Lane in London, and it burned from Sunday the 2nd of September to Wednesday the 5th of September. 70,000 homes were lost. And though the death toll officially was quite small, it is thought there were many people, unknown people, poor people, that were lost in that fire, and maybe people that were burned to death, and their deaths were never recorded. Just one spark in a baker's shop, and it spread, literally wildfire, spreading through that place. And our tongues, James says, are like that. My, what we can say can ruin. What we say, one wee word, can cause an awful destruction in a church, in a community, in a workplace, or wherever they may be. Now, there are a number of ways that the book of Proverbs says that our tongues can be used to destroy. The first way is by flattery. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 26 and look at verse 28. It says, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Now, flattery, of course, is an insincere compliment or just excessive praise. It's really lies. That's what it is. And it says here that a flattering mouth worketh ruin. You know, you can think of people who have been built up as God's greatest gift. And they think that they're God's greatest gift. And they're anything but. And you know, there's a pride there. And there's an insincerity there. And the Bible is so strong in condemning anything that is not honest, not straightforward. And it says here that the flattering mouth worketh ruin. In Solomon warns us about in verse 24 and verse 25. He says, he that heareth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. He says, he that speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Now how strong is that? Seven abominations. Now seven's the perfect number. Almost perfect abomination. He that speaketh fair, believe him not. We need sincerity in our speech. We need truth in our speech. So there is flattery. Then there's slander or tale-bearing. You know, we, like all human beings, like a little bit of gossip, I suppose. But the Bible condemns gossip. It condemns it because so often what we're believing, what we're passing on is a tissue of lies. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 18 there, that we read earlier on, he says, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. So we need to be very careful about the stories that we pass on. We need to be very careful because it's so easy to hear something and somebody tells you it's the absolute truth and then to find out down the line that it's not the truth at all. And what you have been doing when you've been repeating that is repeating a slander. It says in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 19, he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Proverbs 11:13, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Now I want you to notice something very carefully about that last text. Where, when it says revealeth secrets, it doesn't necessarily say that they are false. There are times when even that which is seems to be true, maybe even taken out of context, we need to be quiet. We need to shut our mouths about it. Hear what it says, he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. And there are times when we should not even pass on what maybe is the truth because of the effects that it will have. There's so many fellowships have been broken, so many friendships have been broken because we have passed on some little titbit of information. We need to be careful with our lips. Tale-bearing and slander. There's a third thing that the book of Proverbs deals with that is negative. And that is strife or words of anger. Have you ever got a verbal black eye from somebody? I remember watching a girl launching a verbal tirade against some people. And they were quite big men, actually. And if those men had wanted to, they could have lifted that little girl and just put her in her place. But there they were standing cowering because of the verbal tirade that she had launched against them. And there's a power in the tongue. But we need to watch our anger. Look again at what the Bible says. Look over in Proverbs chapter 18 and look at verses 6 and 7. It says, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost belly. He that is slothful in his work is a brother to him that is a great waster. Proverbs 18:6, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. So there you have the fact that when you are entering into anger and into strife, it speaks of the foolishness of that. And we need to walk away from those things. You know, we need to walk away from that anger. If there's that sense of anger within you, stop it. You need to stop it. We need to watch our anger. There's a little saying that says, nurse your grudge, poison your body. Poison your grudge, nurse your body. You're doing your body no good thing at all. Listen to what Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 22. It says, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. And when you face somebody like that, go away. Now, if somebody's angry with you, the natural reaction might be to get into the ring and slug it out with them and say something back. But the Bible says, walk away. Proverbs 17 and verse 14. The beginning of strife is one as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. So he says, walk away. He says, anger's like letting water out of a dam. You can't get it back again. You can't put the water very easily back into the bottle or back into the lake. Some of it is going to dissipate. Some of it is going to disappear. And he says, leave off contention. Walk away. And if there's somebody that is given to anger, Proverbs 22 says, just avoid them. It says in verses 24 and 25, make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. So anger, strife, is something that the Bible condemns. Something else, there's boasting and foolishness. A fool is compelled to speak, particularly about himself. The fool always wants the last word. But look at what it says in Proverbs 17. Look at verses 27 and 28. It says, he that hath knowledge spareth his words. And a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. So he says, it's better not to boast. It's better not to say something about which you know nothing. There's so many people that think they know it all. And they will boast and they will speak when they know nothing. And it's just a form of lies that they're speaking. But he says, better to hold your tongue, better to say nothing. Better to say nothing. The boaster wants others to know how great he is or how great she is. In Proverbs 25, verse 14 says, Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and a wind without rain. There's no substance. Proverbs 27 and 2. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. So if you're going to get praise, let somebody else do it. Let somebody else do it. So many people go around telling you how great they are and what they have done. The Bible says, no, don't be bringing praise to yourself. If you're going to get praise, let somebody else do it. He says, shut your mouth. Keep quiet. Don't be saying anything. There's another way that our lips can be used for destruction, and that's vulgarity and profanity. How much of that there is today. You see it in Hollywood. Hollywood assaults us with it, and television flaunts it, and there's all sorts of innuendos and all sorts of destructive language and taking the Lord's name in vain. We're bombarded with that every day. Proverbs 15 verse 4 says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. It crushes your spirit. It crushes your spirit. And we need to watch what we are listening to. We need to watch our tongues. You know, I've been told, even this week, about young people who on their Bebo sites or on their Facebook sites, and young people, you need to watch those things. You need to watch those things because there are all sorts of perverts out there, and they're looking for your photographs and they're looking for your details, and you need to watch those things. But I've been told about those who profess to be Christians using innuendo and, I'm told, even downright blue language. Now, we can't use profanity, vulgarity. I know that the world uses it. I know that we're being bombarded with it all the time. I know that almost we get used to it, so much do we hear of it. But you can't use vulgarity. You can't use profanity. And then, of course, the last thing is lies itself. Proverbs 6:16-19, it says, "These six things doth the Lord hate. Even seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren." Now you notice that in those six things that the Lord hates, two of them have to do with the tongue. Two of them have to do with the tongue. We can't lie. God's people should not lie. We should not utter false witness. Proverbs 19 and verse 5 says, "A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape." So we see the destructive power of the tongue. So the tongue is used to bring direction. The tongue is used to bring destruction. But then the tongue can be used to bring deliverance. Because thank God we can use our tongues to speak the gospel. Turn over again to the portion that we read. Look at verse 20 of Proverbs chapter 10. It says, "The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth." So we can use our tongues to be choice silver. Now, silver in the Bible speaks of redemption. We are redeemed. Redemption price and silver in the tabernacle was the price of redemption. So we have the silver message, the message of redemption on our tongues. Proverbs 13 and verse 14, "The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death." Is your tongue a fountain of life? Is it directing people away from the snares of death? We look around us and we see those that are perishing. Those are going down to a lost eternity. And Ezekiel reminds us, those that are God's people today, that we are watchmen on the watchtower. And God will call us into account whether we have warned others about the way that they're going. If the watchman does not warn, then he is called to account. Ezekiel 33 and verse 6 says, "If the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand." Now think about that, Christian. If you don't warn your neighbours, if you don't warn your loved ones, if you're not giving them an invitation along to the meetings, if you're not seeking to win them to Christ, if you're not passing out the tracts, then God will require the blood at your hand. When you stand at the day of judgment, God will require that at your hand. Now, I am the minister of the church, and I have a more solemn responsibility. On the day of judgment, I will be given a more rigorous judgment. But you too must give an account of your stewardship as a watchman on the watchtower for God. Have you been warning others? Have you been speaking? Have you been inviting them? Have you been doing something for Christ? We need to use our tongues in that way. What have been the results of your tongue? Have you been talking about this business? Oh, you talk about other things, about the weather, about the price of cattle, about the way that business is going, about the credit crunch, about sport, about football. I don't know what you talk about, but do you talk about Christ? Do you talk about Christ? I heard the story, read the story, about a man, a pastor, and he was dealing in a carpet store. A man, he was buying some carpets for his and bookcases for his house. And he bought the carpets. One other day, he was passing by the shop where he bought the bookcases and the carpets and so on, and he felt the compulsion of God to go in. The Holy Spirit was leading him to go in and say something to the man about his soul. So in he went and he talked to the man. He said, He says, I've talked to you about beds and about carpets and about bookcases, but he says, I've never talked my business to you. He says, could I have a few minutes? So the businessman brought him into his private office, and the pastor opened the scriptures and began to quote passage after passage and show him the way of life and about the gospel. Eventually, the businessman was so affected that he began to shed tears. And he said, I'm 70 years old. He said, I was born in this city. He said, I've dealt with more than 100 ministers and 500 church officers. And they've known me and they've done business with me. And he says, in all those years, you're the only man that has spoken to me about my soul. And we go out there, men and women, we do business. We go to the barbers, hairdressers, we go to the shop, the vegetable shop, and we do our business that we ever said to the people that they need a Savior. Give them the wee gospel tract. Give them the word of invitation. You know, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11, it says here, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. Is that your lips? Is that what we could describe your mouth as? A well of life? Leading someone to Christ? We think of Edward Kimball, on the 21st of April 1855, went into a shoe shop to buy some shoes. Saw the little assistant there, began to tell him about his soul. And as a result of that witness, the great evangelist D.L. Moody was saved. You know, we can pass on a word for Christ. And very often, maybe that word will not have an effect now, but years later it can have an effect. There was a man in England in the days of the Puritans, down in Dartmouth, I think, and John Flavel. Or Flavel. And he preached a sermon from that text. He that loveth not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, mar anathema, maranatha. And there was a man who heard him and then sailed out and emigrated to America. When he was 100 years of age, this was in his young life, he'd heard this sermon. But when he was 100 years of age, he was out in a field. This man was by the name of Luke Short. And as he stood in the field looking round him and at nature, that text flashed in his mind. He that loveth not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, cursed, maranatha, when the Lord comes, until the Lord comes. And that man got down on his knees in the middle of that field in New England in America and was saved. It was many years after that sermon was preached. But God has promised that his word will not return unto him void. So your words can be used to deliver, bring that word of deliverance. We can say like Francis Ridley Havergal, the hymn writer, take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. And how urgent is it that we get that message out that Jesus saves? Because men and women need to find the Saviour in this day. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake.